All right, welcome back. We are here again for the OmniTalk Fast Five. It is November 30th, 2018. We are excited to be here. Hopefully we're back and better than ever. How was you guys' Thanksgiving? Let's start with one of the most important questions.
That every office mate asks you the second you get back, right?
Right, they do, yeah.
Go ahead, Ann.
And do they care? That's the question.
Yeah.
I had a good Thanksgiving. I hate Thanksgiving food, fun fact about me. So I could really
Yes, no gravy, right? You hate gravy.
Really no Thanksgiving food. We have a tradition in my family where we do Graciasgiving, where we do tacos instead of turkey, which obviously everybody loves tacos and it's way better.
I don't know if I can trust you anymore. Stuffing, gravy, turkey.
A lot of people don't, Carter. It's okay. How was yours?
No, it was great. We got to see a ton of family. All of our family lives pretty close to in town, so we're pretty lucky.
That's awesome. I got to play Pictionary with my family. My mom was here and my brother, and it was interesting. It was kind of like the scene in Superbad, but we won't go much further than that. I did get to see you though, Carter, at the Mall of America.
Yeah,
in
bright
the
and
Apple
early
store.
Friday morning.
Yeah, bright and early. You were like Norm when you walk in. Like it was like everybody knows who you are.
Yeah,
I think the podcast, you know, our audience knows me as a huge fan of Apple, and I think I have a little bit of the Apple Kool-Aid. I got to work there. You know, now it's a while ago. And maybe we'll talk about more in depth another time. But I was not as impressed by some of the evolutions they've made there in the last few months. So, we'll talk about that.
We might have
we'll
to
talk
touch on that
another
at some
episode.
Point, for sure. Yeah, man, you're the biggest fanboy I know. So, yeah, that's a huge statement.
Definitely.
All right, so we basically didn't do the Fast Five last week, so because we were out at the Mall of America. Yeah. So we actually have a couple weeks of headlines to catch ourselves and all of you guys up to speed in terms of what's been going on. So you guys ready? Should we get to it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so I'll start it off. So number one. This is a big one. So Sezzle, which is a local payments company here in Minneapolis, has just secured a $100 million line of credit. So anytime you hear those three digits together, $100 million, it's nothing to sneeze at. Sezzle essentially is a company that's focused on helping young adults with credit issues by providing them instant free installment plans for online purchases. They are installment plans. With Sezzle, consumers split purchases into manageable installments, and it increases basically millennials' purchasing power. This company is only 14 months old, and it already has over 4,000 merchants and 200,000 active users. Now, we've been hot on this company. Anna and I first met this company. What was it? ICRE?
IRC.
I always say that wrong.
Last summer.
And it's a space that's been really hot for us, too, because I think I wrote an article, like, I think it was last November, about Affirm and Scan & Go technology and creating installment plans on things like toothpaste. So really cool to see these guys. Local company, we've known them for some time. Really cool to see these guys kind of hit the ground running here in just a really short amount of time. And for those interested, we are going to actually have a podcast with them very soon. So I highly encourage everybody to check that out. So what do you guys think on this one?
I mean, I think it's just a testament to how quickly the payments are coming into the retail sphere and how much we need to start paying attention to them. I mean, it was a time where you were just seeing this, like when you were trying to finance a vacation or a mattress purchase or something like that, big ticket items. But this is becoming more and more prominent in, and again, things like toothpaste, like we're not far off from that probably. So.
Yeah, and I would say accessible payment options, I think, is the key with this whole thing.
Yeah, it's a great
word. If you think about it, you know, you could buy the Macy's, or you could sign up for the Macy's credit card many years ago, but if you've ever like been tricked into doing that, it's a painful process. It's really kind
of, it's 30 minutes of your life.
It's
really,
horrible,
too,
And so I love what these guys are doing. I love kind of this new
mission. Works everywhere.
Works everywhere. You're able to integrate it with any type of purchase, and the idea of it's a payment plan, it's not a credit card that's out to get you.
Yeah,
I think it's really, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Adoption of credit cards, it'll be.
It's hot. Keep your eye on it. I mean, it's again, if you're a retailer, this is a company along with many companies in the payment space. I'd be paying close attention to it. And if you're not innovating in the payment space, like, man, you're really far behind. And I think, in my opinion, I'm sure you guys would agree.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So story number two this week, IKEA, you guys, might be making it a better shopping experience. If you can believe this is possible, I still don't quite believe it myself, but they announced this week that they are expanding they have 30 urban stores planned. So the first store is going to be in Paris. It's going to be about 54,000 square feet. So I think when I first heard urban store, I was thinking more boutique IKEA. It's still going to be a pretty significant
size. That's a pretty good size store.
But they're really going to be focused on more experiential settings, more showroom-type experiences, and bringing in multiple fulfillment options into these spaces. So what this is going to allow IKEA to do is really get into more, obviously get into more urban areas. They're now, you know, typically in suburban areas. It's hard for people who live in Manhattan, for example, to even get to the IKEA that's in Long Island. So
right.
What they're doing will really kind of change their customer base and make it more accessible. People in these urban store location areas will also be able to pick up product in stores. So if they don't see something in the showroom that they want to buy by, you know, scanning with their phones or what have you, they can ship some of the other knick-knack sort of pillows and other decorating items to the space so they don't have to make the trip. And I think this is brilliant.
Yeah, I think this is incredible. I'm going to rewind 2 years, quick little story.
Okay.
Newly married, new apartment, found a nice couch sitting in the IKEA showroom. And it's IKEA. The box can't be that big, right? My little 2006 Camry sitting in the parking lot. Yeah, we'll fit it in for sure. I'll try to send a photo clip to you, Chris, of this couch that we ratchet strapped to the top of the Camry.
Oh, my God, you actually did it?
Yeah, 28 miles an hour home all the way from the Mall of America IKEA location here in Minnesota. All the way back home, somehow we did not get in any accident, and the couch still is in our home to this day. But I think it's amazing, right? It gives us more options to ship. It gives us as city dwellers a better opportunity to actually experience what IKEA is all about, still get the discount, still get a medium to higher quality discount furniture items, and then have it shipped to us in the way that we expect it to arrive without having to deal with all of that. So I think this is genius. I'm excited. I think it will make me personally at least a more avid IKEA shopper.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I talk around the country, I have a number of different speeches, but IKEA is always the centerpiece kind of contemporary analogy for me in terms of how the future of retail can unfold, just based on how its operation is set up, right? And so I think what's really interesting about this is you can tell they're possibly now going for it, like hook, line, and sinker. Like you've got basically a setup where your front of house is a showroom, right? Your back of house is a warehouse. But the way, and so all that's split, right? So buying is 100% separated from shopping. Now, the difference is today's world, we as the customers have to do the picking and stand in line. And we also, my favorite part, have to write down with pencil and paper, whatever name I can't pronounce, right?
A laminated car. Yeah, I won't get into it.
Right, but like imagine if I could take my mobile phone and instead of writing that down, I could just use it and go, here, I want this, I want this, I want this. And instead of having to wait in line, like your experience, I can just have it delivered wherever the hell I want. Mm-hmm. And that's the future of retail, not just for IKEA, but I think that's the future of retail for a lot of people. I mean, that's what the Umaha supermarket is with Alibaba. I think you're going to see that. So this just shows you that's coming. If people want a good example of what we're talking about visually, check out, search on YouTube, Xenia Retail and IKEA, and there's a great just video of exactly how that potentially comes to life. Mm-hmm. Really encourage you guys to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Well, speaking of the future of retail, we see a future of toys coming up, especially for this holiday
future
season.
Yes.
And that jumps us into headline number three here. Walmart has introduced this web platform, this experience online called Walmart Toy Lab. And it's
so cool.
It is so cool. And I have my own little personal opinion. I played with it for a little while.
I'm curious.
Here's the deal. Walmart Toy Lab lets kids take on the role of an official Walmart toy tester. The experience is brought through this exclusive partnership through Walmart and this online interactive experience. Eco, the leader in interactive video entertainment, as they call themselves. Kids can use the Funtroller to select toys and take a closer look. So they can pick between seeing product videos, they can have the other kid that's in the experience test different aspects of the toy. And if they like it, kids can actually add it to a wish list that then they can either share with Santa or share with their parents. So it's this entire really interesting interactive way. And I think it puts this really new spin on user-generated content and shoppable video and really some things that we know have been avoid or are avoid for the holiday season. So I was able to experience it. And I'm lucky enough to have a pretty powerful computer and a pretty fast internet connection.
I do agree with that.
And this thing lagged so much. It was almost unusable. And I think I have a pretty small attention span. But Chris and Ann, you both have little ones. Yeah. I can imagine their attention spans is much better than mine.
No.
So I think it's a really cool concept. I'm just curious. I think it's the start of something great. Mm-hmm. It might not be there yet.
Yeah, I honestly read about it, was really excited. And my 8-year-old son and I played with it last night. Total disappointment.
Was it the user issues or was it just like the conception?
Honestly, I'm going to sound really crazy again, which is no surprise to anybody. I felt like it was exploiting the kids a little bit. And I'm usually not this person.
So it's going to be awesome.
Well, I just started looking at it, and it's like, okay, so Walmart is getting all of this data about what kids are, like, scrolling, what they scroll past, what they stop and they hold on, and then how much interaction they watch, how many times they watch it. Like, all it just seemed to me, and then the kid, like, basically reading the product detail page for the Razor scooter, it's like, okay, I mean, I think it'll get better. I think it's just a step, you know, kudos to Walmart, okay? You tried this thing. It's pretty cool. It's capturing some kids' attention. I don't know that I love it.
Okay, here we go. This is why we do the show. This is why we do this. I actually think it's the coolest thing we've seen from Walmart this year.
Whoa.
Bar none. Like, I absolutely do. I think it goes back to what's been a theme on the show, and yeah, I think it's a hallmark of Carter, too, in terms of the horizontal of commerce, right? You've got, like, say, Amazon on the one side and social commerce on the other. And part of that is the social activity that happens via video and specifically via YouTube, which is why I think that's always kind of this interesting player in terms of that horizontal.
Okay.
And then who starts to carve out that video niche. And so I think this is a real thing. When we've talked about GH Lab and we've talked about the different tools that can enable these social communities to kind of spring up and create user-generated content. And who has this user-generated content is created claims the share of that from a retail and a commerce perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of interesting things to think about this. Like, you know, do the Ryan's Toys review suddenly become the new kind of staples of the Walmart corral, so to speak? You know, almost like the old studio actor setup, you know, and they're using this video content to put everything out there and get the kids engaged in it. And then are they asking the kids to come back and become celebrities themselves and talk about the toys? And then they're getting purchases made from that. There is a lot. This thing has a lot of road. And then you start connecting with some things you could do in store that we've talked about. I'm all in on this. I think it's the coolest thing they've done.
If that's where this is going, I'd buy it. But I just feel like this is a heavily produced Walmart toy commercial that's interactive. And yes, they don't do a lot of, we haven't seen a lot of video interactive experiences from Walmart. So yes, they did that. But, you know, I don't know. I think you watch the toy videos or the kids watch the toy videos because that kid's a personality and it's cool what they're doing. Like, this was still, there's still too much showrooming for me.
So imagine if you could make it that authentic. I think that's
totally
cool.
Agree.
Carter.
My one point is, I can get behind you on this.
Okay.
I think the thing I was excited about, and it is a very small thing compared to maybe the larger concept that I know we have talked a ton about in the past, but it's the idea that you're actually able to put the toys that they want into a list and send it to the parents. Mm-hmm. Now, I can imagine this is a hard time to try to figure out what your kids, and I don't know, but what your kids, you mm-hmm. know, are wanting. But at the same time, you could probably go down your web history and figure out exactly what your kids want for Christmas just based on those toy review videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a step in the right direction for Walmart to maybe try to own a little bit of that and make that direct connection between what the kids actually want and what the parents are going to buy. And Walmart's the one that's going to make it possible for you this Christmas season.
Yeah.
And I think last thing I'd say too is I don't think necessarily we think about this innovation just in the scope of toys too. Like, there could be applicability outside of toy purchasing down the road. All right. That was awesome. All right. Highlight number four. Recently, Schwan's was sold to a South Korean company. So yes, Schwan's, that company with the gold delivery trucks, was just sold to South Korea's largest food distributor for $1.8 billion. Essentially, in return, the company gets an 80% stake in the part of Schwan's that sells to restaurants, grocery stores, and other retailers. This is an important note. The Schwan's family, though, still does retain 100% ownership in its home delivery business. The reports are that the Korean company, CJ Shale Jedang, trying to say that right, which is the largest producer of food in South Korea, will look to leverage Schwan's deep relationships and food distribution network to bring their Korean products into more restaurants and grocery stores. So I think this one's really interesting. It shows you how small the world is becoming, especially in terms of food. Like, you know, when we talked about Kroger selling on Tmall earlier this year, now South Korean food manufacturer trying to get their products into the U.S. But I also think it's interesting because it just highlights Schwan's, which a lot of people, Britton Ladd, one of our fans of the show, always talks about. These guys know how to do local food delivery. So I'm curious what attention it starts to bring to them in the long run from the marketplace, even though that's not a part of this deal.
That's always been their X factor. They've always had trucks on the ground. They're always refrigerated and frozen. They have the infrastructure that everyone kind of needs
right
now and covets. And I think that's always been it. Now, they also don't have or don't tout as much the other side of the equation of, you know, the online or user experience side, but they've always leaned on their incredible sales staff that's also in the field within the trucks. It's always been the Schwann's man is the one you buy things from. Now, whether that can hang on in the world of today, I would argue maybe not. But I think there we can't forget about kind of the two ends of this equation. And maybe this is a transition.
Right.
I think keywords in this announcement are food distribution network. Okay. Mm-hmm. They are taking all of the information that Schwann's has collected that they've learned from over, I mean, I don't even know how many years they've been around, but it's several years. And they're able to translate this into, you know, not just, you know, what the relationships with grocers and restaurants looks like. And, you know, keep in mind, Schwann's is doing their own test restaurant concept here that they'll be getting learning from that they can pass on to this company. They're a pretty progressive company for how long they've been around. And so I think it's a smart purchase. I love that we have so many Minnesota companies in the news this week doing really cool, innovative retail.
Not intentionally either.
Right.
Any way, shape, or form.
Innovative retail thing. Bring it back home.
That's what I love about what we do too, because like you could be talking about, you know, the latest company in payments, and then all of a sudden you're talking about Schwann's, which has been around for a long time. But it's you don't have to be. It's not young or old. It's why we do. How millennial are you? It's how curious you are and how much you want to innovate. All right, Anne, why don't you get us out of here on a high note?
Okay, guys, I have some news for you. Las Vegas is now home to the world's biggest store for weed. I don't know if you guys caught this, but it's been in the news for a while now. There is a store, 40,000 square foot store, mind you, in Las Vegas, just off the strip, 40 registers they're operating, that some are calling a high-end jewelry store in a nightclub. And what they are selling here is you can buy marijuana. It was just legalized in Las Vegas last year. That you can buy other materials surrounding the use of marijuana. They have edibles there. They have an on-site coffee shop and restaurant. It's really designed as this experience, full-on experience around the product. Planet 13 is the name of the company. They're a Canadian company that's operating in the space. But 17,000 square foot of just retail space. And I think the most important factor here that we need to consider, and the reason that I put this in my top five, is that this is coming. It's obvious this is coming, but not just the fact that weed is going to, as it becomes legalized throughout the country, the retail experience of buying this product is so critical to how it's adopted, I think, around the country. And so if retailers aren't looking at and exploring this yet, they should be.
Yeah, I mean, the new marijuana market coming into specific states in the United States is bringing in retailers who I think are just crushing it. It's no longer the dispensary on the corner. That's the only one within 100 miles, and it's just getting the lines out the door. They're seeing the competition. I still think that they have the benefit of cash. They have the benefit of being first to market, and they have the benefit of being brand new companies with no weight and no tradition and no, you know, kind of pulling along whatever had happened in the last 30 years to do whatever they think and do what's right. And I think we're going to see a ton of great things just like this come from industry. Not only this, but new industries that are coming into the market.
Yeah, if I was a retailer, I'd be paying, I think your point's dead on, and I'd be paying close attention, I think, for a couple of reasons. Like, Carter, you mentioned it too. Like, there's a lot of regulations. They're strapped. And what's the mother of all invention? It's necessity, right? It's being not having the resources you want. So you're going to see a lot of creativity in this space. I think you're going to see a lot of creativity, especially on the technology side, like whether it's payments, like we've talked about a lot.
Right.
How you merchandise in store, what that experience feels like.
I was going to say, I mean, you're seeing some of those technology advancements in California. And,
absolutely.
And I haven't experienced this firsthand, but I think
delivery.
And getting a doctor's prescription like virtually within the store is a thing. And I think they're having to be very creative in order to make that user experience with regulation as seamless as they can make it.
Right. And then the other thing, too, is like retailers always fall into that product problem, right? And so, and I think this is what's so, this was always what's mind blowing within the industry is like, you're right. It's not just a weed shop on the corner. You're not just selling the product of marijuana, you're selling the product, big P, of the experience.
Right.
And that's what this shows is like, holy crap, you can make a 40,000 square foot experience around this.
Yeah.
So it calls to mind what you need to think about.
Yeah, a lot of money to be made. These are, from what I hear, red carpet retail experiences.
Right.
It's not that crazy head shop on the corner anymore. This is going to be a new world for retail.
For sure. Absolutely. All right. Well, hopefully we got you out on a good note. Just a couple of housekeeping things. Hopefully you saw we teased last week, actually. So Ann and I just officially took ownership on a lease, or we just signed a lease for a new space. We're going to continue to give you guys updates on what that's all about. Can't release anything fully yet, but please make sure you're following us on social media and on our blog, because we're going to be teasing things out here over the next couple months.
As being the third party in this, I just want to mention, and I know maybe a little bit more, and I'm not going to say anything, but this is so cool. And
thanks,
I encourage
man.
The audience as being a little bit removed from these two. What they have in store for this space is going to be completely revolutionary. I encourage everyone to quickly jump on. Make sure you've subscribed to OmniTalk so you get all the latest updates, because watching this thing come to life for the next couple of months is going to be an adventure in itself.
Thanks, man.
It's totally.
Thanks, man. It's been a labor of love. And I would say for all of us, I think Carter too even, we can't thank all of you listeners and watchers enough, because we wouldn't have been at this point without you for sure over the last year and a half. So thank you so much, and please continue to give us your feedback as we go along. So on behalf of everyone, as always, be careful out there.